I like how God always superimposes His grace, His mercy, His love in a person's life that has just strayed and just messed things up. But there is God. He comes and He lifts us up. If we'll let Him. A lot of people won't let Him. A lot of us like pity parties. I want to feel sorry for myself because it feels good. Yeah, does it? Well, it just puts you in a hole, doesn't it? Well, God, He just stands back and waits for you to come out of it and take His hand and pull you out. You see, our life is what we allow God to make it and do with it.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 11.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
One of the controversies here in Judges chapter 11 is what exactly did Jephthah do with his daughter? Did he put her on the altar as a burnt sacrifice? Is that what he did? Some commentators believe that, or was it just simply a dedication, a daughter of the tabernacle? So when we get to the end of this, that's what we see. But what I found in this chapter 11 is something that we see right now going on in Gaza. I don't like to shoehorn prophecy and shoehorn current events into the Bible, but when they fit, they fit. And so there is, when we get to that portion, you'll see how it fits. It fits quite nicely. But here in chapter 11, again, the children of Israel, remember we said it's a book of repeat offenders. They seem to be on a treadmill of, you know, God delivers them. There's a sense of peace and then complacency and then sin, and they go into bondage and then they cry out and God brings a deliverer. And that cycle happens all over again. Now they're in bondage. They're basically dealing with the Ammonites. And so we find that Jephthah is the judge or the deliverer that we find here in chapter 11. So it says, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a valiant warrior. Now we're going to take it a couple verses at a time, maybe one or two or big portions. But there's enough here in verse 1 to talk about it and maybe even to put our lives in there. Jephthah was a Gileadite, was a valiant warrior, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead was the father of Jephthah. Valiant warrior. How did he get that warrior status? Well, he was kicked out of the home. He was an outcast, and so he was in the wild, and you find that he was honing his skills there. That's the only thing we can think of at that point, and we'll see that in a moment. But notice the disgrace that he would have, and maybe the shame and the disadvantage as well. He's illegitimate. He's born of a harlot. His dad, you know, kind of amorous, saw a harlot, went into her. Here a child was born. It wasn't a concubine. It wasn't a wife. No, it was a harlot. And so that's the stigma that he had to live with. And it seems as though he went through that, and he did fine. And we're going to see how well it turned out for him. But also, when we think in the New Testament, we think about Jesus Christ. There was a certain stigma that Jesus had to deal with. Also, Mary had to deal with. And it was where the Pharisees, because she was pregnant before they were legitimately married, it was in that year of engagement period, and she was with child of the Holy Spirit. But you can remember when the Pharisees, they were on his case always, but then they wanted to snipe at him and said, we were not born of fornication. And so they were indicating that he was born illegitimately. And so even Jesus had to endure that kind of slander and kind of thing. And yet at the same time, when we think of the Lord, we know that he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. So I think whatever background you come from, whatever thing you have to deal with that has just really hurt you, you're weeping in your heart, hey, Jesus went through that. He knows what it is, and he's there. He comes to comfort. He comes to strengthen at that time. Sometimes we think, well, nobody knows what I've gone through. Well, maybe we don't. I don't. You don't know what I've gone through, but Jesus does, and he's right there. And so sometimes when we have a pity party, when we want people to feel sorry for us, God doesn't. He doesn't feel sorry for us. He won't have a pity party with us. He wants to reach down and pull us out of that pit, you know, that we kind of dig for ourselves when we get into. And so Jesus knows, and I like the fact that Jephthah, no matter what our physical birth is, that's not the issue. You see, we have a new birth. We have a new birth born from above, born again. Now, Jephthah, he didn't have that advantage, but I sense that he had a relationship with God. We don't know how strong it was, but we suspect he did because he was called as the deliverer, and we know that he sought the Lord in these things. And it says in verse 2, we'll go down to verse 3, and Gilead's wife bore him sons, and when his wife's sons grew, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows gathered themselves about Jephthah, and they went out with him. You know, you can't help how you were born, where you were born, or the circumstances of your birth, but those don't have to control you. They didn't for Jephthah. They don't have to control you. You see, maybe others will be against you, as Jephthah's brothers were, as half-brothers were, against him. But you see, people don't define your life. They don't define who you are. You're not a victim of birth. You're not a victim of circumstances. You know, what others say about you, it can't allow yourself to be molded into what they think of you. It's really what God thinks of you, what God has made you. You're God's creation. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and great are his works. Don't forget that. Don't get your eyes off the Lord and onto man. You see, you're made in the image of God. And the thing with this, with Jephthah, is mercy triumphs over judgment. Do you realize in the King James Version, it calls him a bastard. And in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2, the King James Version, it says, no bastard shall enter into the assembly of the Lord. That's Jephthah. But notice what mercy does. You're going to find that mercy, and Jephthah comes back and he delivers Israel. I like this. I like how God always, he superimposes his grace, his mercy, his love in a person's life that has just strayed and just messed things up. But there is God. He comes and he lifts us up. If we'll let him. A lot of people won't let him. A lot of us like pity parties. I want to feel sorry for myself because it feels good. Yeah, does it? Well, it just puts you in a hole, doesn't it? Well, God, he just stands back and waits for you to come out of it and take his hand and pull you out. You see, our life is what we allow God to make it and do with it. It's really, when we've given ourselves to the Lord, it's really God's life. It's not ours. Those that gathered to Jephthah, obviously they saw something in Jephthah. I mean, he began a valiant warrior out there, being an outcast out there in the wilds, however it was out there. And so they followed him. They came to him. Much like David's men, when David was on the run, remember those that came to him who were in distress, in debt, and discontented. You find that 1 Samuel 22:2. Now these, it says, were worthless fellows, which simply means that they were poor, they had no property, they were unemployed. But here in that land, likely, and many commentators will say, how did they get what they needed? Well, likely they were patrolling and protecting from marauding bandits that were in the area, and they were being paid for that, being helped by the people. And then I'm sure making raids on the enemy, you know, to supply what they needed, and that's probably where he got his skill in battle. But so here is Jephthah, a castaway from his family. And now notice verse 4, and we'll go a little farther here, down to verse 11. And it came about after a while that the sons of Ammon fought against Israel. And it happened when the sons of Ammon fought against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our chief that we may fight against the sons of Ammon. Then Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and drive me from my father's house? Now, this could have been his brothers that came, contingents. You know, they came and they were speaking to him. And so maybe Jephthah looking right at them and saying that. So why have you come to me now when you are in trouble? Verse 8, and the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, for this reason we have now returned to you that you may go with us and fight with the sons of Ammon and become head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you take me back to fight against the sons of Ammon, and the Lord gives them up to me, will I become your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord is witness between us. Surely we will do as you have said. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and chief over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. I mean, you might have an army that's all ready to go, but if you don't have a commander of that army or a general, it's not really much good. It's like a body without a head, you know, and so now they're getting the head. You see, the Ammonites, they were in the south of Israel. Amnon was a descendant of Lot. It's really a seedy kind of story in Genesis 19, but Lot's daughters, the two daughters, thought they were the only ones on planet Earth, so they had to have kids, prodigy. So they got their father drunk and slept with him, and out the youngest had Amnon. That's who that is. And so you can read about it. It's not a story a pastor likes to tell, you know, when he's going through the book of Genesis. But this is Abraham's nephew, Amnon. And so the Ammonites, they became enemies of Israel. Enemies of Israel. And now the crisis emerges in leadership. And they need a deliverer. So they go to Jephthah. It's interesting how the people, they knew that they were in difficult straits. And so they repented. And so they asked for this leader, Jephthah. Obviously, he had a reputation. He had a reputation, so they went and found him and got him. But you know, I think it's God's way of humbling them, humbling the leaders and humbling those in Gilead by the choice, as the King James Version said, a bastard and an exile to deliver them. Who delivered you? Well, an illegitimate fellow who we exiled. We brought him back to deliver us. That's pretty humbling. And obviously, we know that he honed his skills as an outcast in the wild. I think one of the lessons that we can learn from this is not to turn against the least of the brethren, as they did. Not for us to turn against the least of the brethren, because they may be a very present need in time of help. I know that said of the Lord. But you see, that's Jephthah. He's a very present help to them in time of need. And also, if you're turned away, if you're slandered and turned away, bear up under it. Bear it. Deal with it. You know, trust God to redeem the time as you're in waiting and in preparation for the next big thing that God has for you. That was Jephthah. You see, things haven't changed. That's us. That's you. That's me, you know, in that time. You don't alienate, and then if you are alienated, just wait on the Lord. Wait for him to do big things with you. Well, let's go a little farther here from verse 12 down all the way down to verse 27, then we'll talk about it. We'll also bring Gaza into this because it fits quite well. Now, Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the sons of Ammon saying, "What is between you and me that you have come to me to fight against my land?" And the king of the sons of Ammon said to the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel took away my land when they came up from Egypt, from the Arnon, as far as the Jabbok and the Jordan. Therefore, return them peaceably now." But Jephthah sent messengers again to the king of the sons of Ammon, and they said to him, "Thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor did the land of the sons of Ammon. For when they came up from Egypt, and Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Please let us pass through your land.' But the king of Edom would not listen. And they also sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained at Kadesh," verse 18, "then they went through the wilderness and around the land of Edom and the land of Moab and came to the east side of the land of Moab, and they camped beyond the Arnon. And they did not enter the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of the Heshbon. And Israel said to him, 'Please let us pass through your land to our place.' But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people and camped in Jahaz and fought with Israel. And the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of the country." In other words, the Amorites attacked Israel. Israel won the battle and got their land. So it's their land. So, verse 22, "They possessed all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon as far as the Jabbok, and from the wilderness as far as the Jordan. Since now the Lord, the God of Israel, drove out the Amorites from before the people Israel, are you then to possess it? Do you not possess what Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord, our God, has driven out before us, we will possess it. And now are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive with Israel, or did he ever fight against them while Israel lived in Heshbon in its villages, and in the Arnon in its villages, and in the cities that are on the banks of the Arnon 300 years? Why did you not recover them within that time?" In other words, we conquered it. We lived there for 300 years and you didn't do anything. Why are you coming now? "I therefore have not sinned against you, but you are doing me wrong by making war against me. May the Lord, the judge, judge today between the sons of Israel and the sons of Ammon." But the king of the sons of Ammon disregarded the message which Jephthah sent him. So Jephthah, basically, he's asking, well, why? Why do you challenge Israel over our territory? Ammon says, it's our land. You stole it from us. Jephthah says, not so. That's not true. The fact is, the Amorites took the land from the Ammonites, and Israel defeated the Amorites, and the spoils go to the victor. In other words, Amnon, you were defeated by the Amorites. We defeated the Amorites in that land. We gained it. We were victorious. The land is ours. You see, the war began, just to recap a little bit, the war began when the Amorites attacked Israel. The Amorites attacked Israel as they were headed toward the promised land. And so the Amorites, first of all, they had conquered, let me back up so it's not too confusing, but the Amorites conquered Amnon, and then the Amorites conquered Israel as they were going through on their way to the promised land. But Israel defeated the Amorites. But now Ammon, who lost to the Amorites, they say that land is actually ours. Even though you beat up our enemy who took it from us, we own that land, and so that land is ours. We want it back. And so Jephthah says, it is what God gave us. God gave us this land. We were attacked. We beat the enemy. Now we own the land. There has been no nation, never ever, has an enemy attacked someone and they were beaten and the victor gave back that land, except Israel. Israel gave back the Sinai to Egypt in the Six-Day War, 1967, because it was demanded of them. They gave the Gaza back to the Arabs when they had conquered that, and they thought, okay, let's live in peace, and you have your government, we have ours, and let's live in peace. But they didn't want to live in peace. It's just like the Ammonites. No, we're not going to live in peace. We're going to have war with you. And so you find that Jephthah, to him, it was really a battle between gods, the true and living God of Israel, and Chemosh. He says, let your God Chemosh give you what, you know, he's given you. Let Muhammad give what he's given you. And look at all the land around, the Arab lands. Why can't you be satisfied with that? Because there's something about driving out, exterminating the Jews. It's a demonic thing. A demonic thing.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of repeat offenders, Judges, chapter 11. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of repeat offenders, Judges, chapter 11. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.